Olivia's eyes narrowed and Stainer shrugged.
I won't dispute a single thing Merlin's had to say about Langhorne and Bedard and the rest of the Archangels. They were mass murderers, and clearly megalomaniacs, and what they created was a monster and an abomination before God. I'm a Bedardist myself, and discovering the truth about the patron of my order was one of the more unpleasant experiences of my life. But having said that, the Order of Bedard's done an enormous amount of good over the centuries. I believe it's grown into something quite different from what Adare Bedard had in mind when she was busy reprogramming the minds of helpless sleeping people to make them believe the lie. But I've also been forced to admit I might be wrong about that. We know what she and Langhorne did. We will never know what they were truly thinking when they did it. I'm not proposing that the nobility of their motives, assuming they actually possessed any such thing, justifies their acts. I'm simply saying that we, as human beings, have a tendency to judge on the basis of what we understand, what we see, even when we know intellectually that there are almost certainly things we don't understand and haven't yet seen. We do that with other humans. We do it even with ourselves when you come right down to it. I think we ought to recognize that, Your Highness. And, just perhaps, that we might try to avoid doing the same thing to God.
She gazed at him for several moments, then nodded slowly. It wasn't really a gesture of agreement, not yet at least. But it was a concession of understanding, or perhaps of a beginning of understanding.
In time, Olivia, Charlian said, every human being is going to have to decide how to respond to the lie for himself or herself. I know how I've responded, but no one can predict how everyone else will. That's one reason we've been so cautious when it comes to deciding who we can reveal the truth to.
And if it turns out you were wrong to reveal it to someone, Your Majesty?
Olivia asked very softly.
What happens then?
The fact that you've asked means you already know the answer, Charlian replied, her voice equally soft yet unflinching. We can't and won't pretend about that. God alone knows how many people are going to die before this struggle ends, and the information Merlin shared with you and Narmon tonight would be devastating in the hands of the Temple Loyalists. If you were in our place, what would you be willing to do to prevent it from reaching them?
Silence hovered once more, tense and brittle. Then, surprisingly, Olivia Bates smiled. It was a small smile, but genuine, Merlin realized.
I've been married to Narmon almost as long as you've been alive, Your Majesty, she said. During all those years, he's done his best to shelter me from the harsh realities of the Great Game. I'm afraid, though, that he never really succeeded in that, quite as well as he thought he had, even if I didn't have the heart to tell him he hadn't.
She turned her head, her smile growing broader and warmer as her eyes met her husband's, and she squeezed his hand. Then she looked back at Charlian and Caleb, and her expression had sobered once more.
But after all that, of course I know what you would have done, and I don't doubt for a moment that Narmon would have done exactly the same thing in your place. For that matter, she looked Charlian in the eye levelly, so would I. So I suppose it's a good thing for all our sakes that you won't have to.
We won't?
Caleb asked quietly, and Olivia shook her head.
Your Grace, if Narmon had been inclined to denounce you as heretics and demon worshippers, he would have done that the moment you told him Sajan Merlin sees visions. You didn't need to tell him the Sajan also flies through the air and doesn't need to do little things like, oh, breathe, for him to have realized there was more at work in him than the group of four guesses. He knew from that moment that Merlin was an unnatural creature. And I don't doubt the writ's warning that such things serve Shan Wei passed through his mind. It's a very active mind, you know.
She smiled again, shaking her head at Narmon, yet managing simultaneously to keep her gaze on Caleb as she continued.
"I know my husband," she said simply, "and while I don't doubt the Sajin would have been able to keep him under continuous observation, I think he would have succeeded in betraying you if he decided you and Merlin did serve Shan Wei. He might not have survived the experience, but he would have succeeded. And I think, now that you've come to know him, you probably realize he would have done it knowing he wouldn't survive if he'd truly believed you intended to betray the entire world to the dark."
Narman's face had turned an interesting shade of pink, Merlin observed, but the rotund little prince didn't flinch.
"And she's right about him too, by God," Merlin thought, and shook his head mentally. "I wouldn't have thought it myself when I first met him, but she's right. If he'd thought that, he would have done exactly what she's just said."
"As it happens," Olivia continued, "I have considerable faith in his judgment. It's not infallible, and he's made his share of mistakes, but it's a somewhat smaller share than that of quite a few other princes I could mention. And in this case, I think my judgment agrees with his."
She looked at Stainer.
"Your Eminence, I'd really like the opportunity to examine some of those other holy writs you've mentioned. I'm sure that when I do, they'll create plenty of questions of their own. But I was prepared to trust you against the temple when your rejection of Mother Church's interpretation of the only writ I knew of was based on nothing but faith. Perhaps you are asking us to believe even more now, but you're also offering us a lot more in the way of evidence and proof."
She shrugged.
"No doubt someone like Clinton will still find all sorts of reasons to reject it. I've already made up my mind that he doesn't worship the same god I do, though, so that's not a problem for me."
Merlin felt himself relaxing as he realized she meant every word of it. He looked around the table and saw his own reaction mirrored, to greater or lesser extent, in each of the other faces. Except Narman's, perhaps. The Prince of Emerald wasn't looking at Merlin Athrawis, nor even at his Emperor and Empress. No, he was looking at someone far more important than either of those august individuals. He was looking at his wife, and for once, as his eyes clung to hers, there was no guard on his expression or his emotions at all.